worked in my life in such a way. Can I just first of all say a testimony is that my life is literally, I am literally alive. I'm literally standing here today because of prophecy. Without a strategic word at a strategic moment at different places in Judy and I's lives, I'm sure that we could never have survived. But God is faithful, you know. So when God speaks to me, which, by the way, I don't know, is Judy's mom here today? She's not. When you see her, she had another birthday. Say hello and happy birthday. When the Lord speaks to me, I have to discern between him speaking to me and him just speaking to us. And sometimes that gets muddied, so it becomes a real challenge to discern between the two. Is he talking to me? Is he talking to us? And I like to think that what God does every Sunday for me is, I don't know why he has chosen to do this way other than I have to depend on him. I used to be so organized. I used to be so administrative. And then God's chosen to give me a message per week. And it's like a railroad car, you know? So here's what happens. If I get a download, it's like a railroad car, and it's on my track. And then if we have a guest speaker, like Peter 2 weeks ago, then that railroad car has to get pushed down the line a little bit. And then I get another railroad car. And then if I have COVID and can't make it, then I have two railroad cars. And then now we're at a third week. I've got a train wreck to share with you this morning. So I'm going to do my best to sort it out and make it less of a train wreck. But I want to talk about prophecy. And I want to talk about it this way. I want to consider prophecy, I want to use the analogy of giving blood. The prophecy, when used correctly, when used in the way that God wants to use the church. By the way, I was before the Lord, and he spoke to my spirit, and he said the church during the last political election and during the pandemic and the crisis, and we were all a little bit of a train wreck. We didn't know where things were headed. And the Spirit spoke to me and said that I was disappointed in the church because the church, in its confusion and not knowing what God was saying or what he was doing, began saying whatever they heard. And because we said everything that we heard, it was just what everybody else was saying. So there was no distinct word from God. It was just a bunch of confusion and noise. But the Lord is preparing us, not just Cornerstone, but the Bride of Christ, to be ready for the next presidential election. By the way, pray, vote, pray, you know. We've got an election coming up here. It's called a midterm. They're all important. But I do want to say this, that we have a two-year window until the next presidential election, I think. And it's not because the presidential election is that important. It is important. But it's just that this prophecy that God has given me has a shelf life of 2 years on it. And so I really believe that what God is actually doing is he's preparing the church to speak effectively. That's part of what Annie was saying a while ago. To say the right thing, it's not just to have the right words, but to have the right timing. It's also important. So I want to talk about prophecy, and many of us are familiar with it. By the way, in case you don't recognize this or not sure about this, you're in a Pentecostal, charismatic, third wave, whatever you want to call it, church, and we're very familiar with the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and we're not as effective in the Spirit as we could be and should be, and a part of it is because there has been so many words and so many years of a distance between Azusa Street Revival and today that we just assume so much. And I'm going to ask you to reconsider that. I thank the Lord for Randy Clark, Global Awakening, their work, tremendous, tremendous people and gifting and callings, and they've been a real asset, a real help. But I'm just here to tell you today that whatever label you're most comfortable with, I want you to know that God is wanting to amp up. He wants to raise up the level of the anointing on his bride because he's giving her a word that the world needs to hear. And how many of you know that the very spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ? The core of it is the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that the church has lost the testimony, but I'm going to tell you this. There is one thing that is clear in the book of Revelation that Paul quoted from, is that if you want to see the very reason for persecution and frontal assault of the adversary, it was for one reason and one reason only. It was not because of her politics. It was not because of her ideology. It was not because of her belief in the resurrected Jesus Christ. It was not because of her belief in the gifts of the Spirit. The reason for persecution, as listed in the book of Revelation, is one thing, and that is that people carried the testimony of Jesus Christ. Carrying the testimony of Jesus Christ is a huge honor. Would you please stand with me? I'm having a moment here. Would you just please stand with me for a moment? I want us to just think for a second what an honor it is that we are a bridge, we are a link. We don't know how many links are to come. We don't know how many links go back, but we know that we're a link until to the future. We carry the testimony of Jesus. It is the most important message on planet Earth. This is the one that will change everything. The testimony. Could you just take a minute and say, Jesus, I don't know why you graced me with the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it was my family, whether it was a friend or some coincidental thing, but here I stand by the blood of the Lamb. I've been washed from my sins. I've been cleansed by that powerful cleansing agent. If you're still in sin, you don't understand the powerful cleansing nature of the Holy Spirit and the blood of the Lamb. He can cleanse your heart to the uttermost and change you and transform us. And we carry his testimony. It is like the pearl of great price. You may not have a car. You may not have a house. You may not even have a job right now. You may not have all that you need. But if you have the pearl of great price, the testimony of Jesus, you have all you need for eternity. Someone put their hand in the air and thank Jesus for the testimony. Jesus died for me. I know that. His Spirit lives within me. His Spirit dwells within me. His Word dwells within me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is truly, the world didn't give it to me. The world cannot take it from me. Hallelujah. They can take my life. They can take my breath. They can take everything I own, but they can't take this. I have the testimony of Jesus. He died for sinners such as us. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise the Lord. Someone should feel just a little bit better now. You should sit down. All right. So we got the testimony of Jesus, and it's like that is the dynamo to prophecy. Now, I want to say, and I don't want to get anyone in trouble, don't certainly want anyone to throw books at me, but, you know, prophecy, we've used prophecy in so many ways. So much of the time, it ends up becoming sort of relegated to the supernatural. So because prophecy is, when it works right, is very supernatural, we just say, okay, we want signs and wonders, and therefore, when there's a prophecy, there's a sign that Jesus is resurrected. Hallelujah. Amen? And that's true. That is true. But I want to put it in comparison to, in 1 Corinthians 14, the Apostle Paul said this, okay, essentially, when I pray in tongues, when I pray in a language that the Spirit has given me, when I do that, I'm essentially talking to God. When I pray in tongues, when I pray in the Spirit, I'm praying to God, and essentially, I'm praying to God oftentimes about men. But when I prophesy, oftentimes I'm speaking to men about God. Hold that thought. When I prophesy, I'm telling men that God loves the world, including you, right? And me. And so prophecy is not just a sign. It is a way of getting a job done. So I would like you to consider with me for a moment that prophecy is like giving blood. Anyone ever give blood before? Have you ever given blood? Anyone give blood since the pandemic? You really should. They're really hurting for blood right now. We really need it. There's blood drives going on everywhere. Judy and I both gave blood not long ago. And this time something happened I never had happen before. I got a sign. I got a letter from the blood bank, and it didn't name the person who received my blood, but it named the city and the gender. So I know that a male in, I forget which, Lake Erie up somewhere, it is out of Harrisburg. My blood was used to save the life of a man in another city. How many of you understand that giving blood is life-giving? We should all give blood in the natural. You know, I mean, okay, so here's the thing about it. Like giving blood, you know it's going to cost you something. It's going to hurt. There's a certain amount of, come on, where's my vampires and people who like letting blood and stuff, you know. There is a certain concern about looking over there and seeing your blood coming out of your arm through a tube going somewhere else. And I look at the nurse and I said, am I going to need that? And she said, no, you're going to be just fine. And then she came back to me a minute later and she said, Rich, you are like an overachiever. And I said, what do you mean? And they're like, you have the record for filling up the tube today. And I said, hey, come on. You know, this was pre-COVID. But anyways, giving blood is one of the most lifeless, most self-denying things that we can do. Friends of mine who are pastors came up with a phrase. I don't know which one of it was. Is that someone said one time, like, every Sunday is like giving blood. And I thought, you know, that's so true, and I sort of carried that. But here's the thing, is that I get to talk to wonderful people like you on Sundays like this because of a calling. And that's nothing I did. It was absolutely, totally apart from anything I did. It was just the will of God. You can't change that. I can't change that. So, but I believe that all of us are called to give blood. Maybe not all of us are called to preach. We can debate that. Quite honestly, if I could figure out a way to do this without doing what I'm doing right now, I would do it. But here's the thing, is that you and I, as a believer who carries the testimony of Jesus, are literally called to give blood on a regular basis. Now I'm talking spiritual analogy. And that is that when we speak to someone for God, we speak in the name of the Lord to someone, we have given the possibility of life, an infusion of life. Let me just think about that for a second. If I, you know, I know Annie, I'm sorry, this thing's, I'm sweating and it's sticking to me. I know that Annie prayed this a while ago, like, just, God, just open our eyes and open our ears. By the way, at the end of this message, I'm going to pray that the Lord opens your ear to hear the voice of God on a regular basis. It happened to me a number of years ago, and I can tell you the difference between when God opened my ear and when he hadn't. I had been born again. I had been filled with the Spirit. I was regularly dieting in the Word of God. But there was a moment that when God opened my ear, I began to hear His voice. And when I began to hear His voice, it changed everything. Because, see, here's the thing, is that if I have been regularly in the presence of God and He is speaking to me, then in one sense, it doesn't really matter what's going on around me, does it? It doesn't, not as much as you might think. I'm not prone to stick my head in the sand. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in ignoring things. It's just that when my soul is jumping up and down and saying, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, you know, and the Spirit is speaking to my spirit and saying, just hold steady. We stop waiting on God and we start waiting for God. There's a difference. Waiting on God is a wonderful thing to do, but waiting for Him is the posture of the heart. It's like my soul is jumping up and down. Everything inside of me says, God, you've got to do something, and you've got to do it fast. You've got to do it now. And yet my spirit is saying, but He is the God who met me here. He is the God who met me here. He is the God who met me here. And He said this. Somewhere between it is written, and it is finished, is where Jesus lived His life. When He didn't have the completion of the assignment yet, He would resort to it is written. And as He finished the assignment, He said, it is finished. That is the full breadth of a life given to God. We good? Okay, like I'm out of time. So Troy has been trying to get my attention. Troy, you can pass those papers out. Okay. I want to do this really, really quick and give us a chance to ponder them. If you don't have a word that's, I mean, a piece of paper that says prophecy, giving blood. Good news is I went to the dentist. I went to the eye doctor and he corrected my long vision. And like I can probably shoot vultures from 3 counties away now. But I can't see my watch when I pull my... So I something has to change. But Psalm 40, and I'm just using this because it uses the phrase messianic psalm. It speaks in a way that early church writers, Hebrews, the author of the book of Hebrews, grabbed it and put it into the New Testament, said this is speaking of Jesus. But how many of you know that as Paul Smith was a while ago alluding that the goal is that we become like Him. So in other words, as an obedient son, it should be our desire to do the will of the Father as well. So Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. There's no other way to wait, I'm just telling you. You can try banging your head. I've done it all. I can tell you everything that doesn't work. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. How many of you understand this is not a sermon right now? I'm trying to communicate something to you that will change your life. If you grab the hold of this word, it will literally change the rest of your life. So I really don't care what you think about the order of it. It's just a train wreck, that's all. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Verse 2, and he also brought me up out of a horrible pit. How many say amen? Huh? Out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock and established my set. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise God. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lie. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works. This is the psalmist just warming up. This is like having a cup of coffee for him. This is just how he functions, right? He gets up, oh, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he's done wonderfully. Verse 5, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I were to declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered, which is basically saying there's a lot of prophetic material in God. All right. Now, verse number 6, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Let me just qualify that. Sacrifices were ordered, offerings were ordered by the Holy Spirit through Moses. He's saying, you're not looking to me to bleed. You're not looking for me to sacrifice. You're not looking for me to provide another offering. What you're looking for, okay, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. I highlighted that, put it in green, by the way. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. Oh Lord, you yourself know. Yeah, this is David's way of saying, okay, God, you're not looking for my sacrifice. God, you're not looking for my offering. What are you looking for? You're looking for an ear that hears. That's why Jesus would come along and say, for he that has an ear that hears, let him hear. He's qualifying what he is saying. He's saying, if you've got an ear that's open to God, then hear this one. He's not looking for sacrifice in addition or something. You know, I don't have to crawl on glass. I don't have to do pilgrimage. I don't have to walk an old lady across the street. When I commit sin, when I disobey God, I don't have to ask forgiveness and then add something to it to get God's favor. I already have his favor. What is he looking for? He's looking for ears that hear. He's looking for hearts that are willing to obey. He's looking for voices that will speak. So, well, I'm going to try to bring it all together here in just 1 minute. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 13, starts out by saying, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am nothing. He talks about prophecy. He talks about faith. And then he goes on and he said, this is what love does and this is what love doesn't do. And I'm just telling you something, that when I was pondering this message, the Spirit of God dropped a thought in my heart and I said, that sounds blasphemous. And I felt the Spirit wink at me, you know. So, okay, you've been teaching 1 Corinthians 13 for so long, you can't hear me in it. And if you hear it correctly, he's actually saying, love prophesies. Love prophesies. And prophecy is like giving blood. Would you please stand with me? Just a moment, I'm going to pray that God would open our ears to hear. Now, when God opened my ears, he did it in a way that I never expected. I was not counting on this. I had visited a wonderful revival. I had a certain amount of time there. And I saw so many wonderful things, and I saw God do crazy things, you know. And then I'm just going to tell you what went through my heart, and you tell me if this has ever gone through your heart. They had this time where they just invited people to come forward to be prayed for, and people were falling left and right. And the truth of the matter was there was several people in that revival, and it's like those are the people I wanted to pray for me. That's not how it worked out. There was a throng of people, and there was just little old me. And I'm back in the back saying, God, I can't get anywhere near these guys. And I swear that sometimes they just disappear into the crowd and then pop up somewhere else. But here's the thing, is that if you want to anoint me with whatever is here, then I want to be anointed to take that with me back to Cornerstone Fellowship, because I want her to experience what these wonderful people were experiencing. I no sooner prayed that prayer, and I stood there for an awkward minute or two, and I caught, my eyes were closed, I was not paying attention, I just worshiping God, and I felt someone's breath towards me, and I opened my eyes, and I didn't see anyone until I looked down, and there was this little lady. I mean, 4 foot and an inch, maybe. Very short woman. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. Good things come in small packages. Whatever. I was really thinking that maybe he could pray for me, but here's a small woman. She came over and she said, Pastor, may I pray for you? And I said, please do. I just humbled myself before the Lord. She put her hands on my chest, and I didn't get past in Jesus' name, and I was under the table for hours. Just absolutely blew away all preconceptions of what should or shouldn't happen. It was a very good night, very long night. Next morning, about 4 o'clock, when we were getting ready to fly out that day, about 4 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Spirit wakes me up, and I'm like, is this you, Lord? Is this me? What, you know, playing that mind game. And I'm like, well, it's not my flesh waking me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I can tell you that right now, you know. I slid out of my bed, put my knees on the floor, leaned towards the table, and I'm like, oh, God, I am just a wreck, a mess. I have no idea. And, like, it was a really lousy prayer. So praying this really lousy prayer, and it's like the Holy Spirit said, shut up. Politely, of course. Before you leave the airport, you have an encounter with a person. And I will speak to you through that person. And I'm like, okay. Get back in bed, fall back to sleep. Get up. All of a sudden, we're running late. We have to run the car to the airport. We run the car to the airport, drop it off, run and get in line. And out the door and down the runway and stopped in another city. And I'm like, God, what is going on? We get into this other city, and we have to change planes. We jump. The whole time I'm thinking, God, this is your last chance. We're in another opportunity to queue up to go into an airplane. This is your last chance, God, to speak to me in the airport. And nothing. I mean, I kept finding people, and I start sort of a conversation like, do you know me? And And they'd pull away like, no, and I don't really think I want to know you, you know. And I was just going out of my mind. The guy was traveling with me. He had no idea the chaos is going inside, you know. So they call our flight. We go. We get in line. And I'm thinking it's going to happen in line. Doesn't happen in line. I think it's going to be a stewardess. I think it's going to be a pilot. I have no, but we just got herded right on the plane. Went back and sat down. And here there is a girl already in the seat beside us from a continuation flight. Announcement comes on. We have a delay. We're going to be sitting here on the tarmac for a few minutes. My buddy starts talking to this girl, and he asks her, would you like to return to Jesus? Because she was backslidden. And she looked at him, and she said, no, not really. And when she said that, I felt like a spear went right through my heart. And I began to weep and intercede in a way I had never interceded before. And stewardesses and stewards came around checking on me. And everybody's trying to console me. Everybody's trying to fix me. And my friend is traveling with me. He said, he is unconsolable. Let him alone. There's no way you can fix him. Literally walked off the airplane, collapsed in Judy's arms, and before we got out of the turnstile, I mean, we just had to pray, and that began a journey of the Spirit opening in my ear to hear, and it's continued to this day, and I quite frankly am surprised by it. It is your birthright as a lamb to hear the shepherd's voice. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that what you have done for me in the past and so many different occasions would suddenly be realized in our hearts right here, right now. I ask, Father, that you would begin opening spiritual ears to hear, because we want to give blood. We want to prophesy, but we can't prophesy without a word. You've got to give us a word to speak before we can truly prophesy. So right now, if you want the Holy Spirit to open your ear to hear, and you say, I will speak, because a part of this is the will, is surrendering the heart. If that's you, just lift your hand, say, Lord, I want that. I want you to open my ears. I want to hear with great clarity. I want to nurture it. I want to cultivate it. I want to be a prophetic voice because I'm a hearing person. Does that make sense? Everybody hear me? If you want, just ask the Lord right now. Jesus, open our ears to hear. Open our eyes to see, and open our spirit to obey quickly. I can't tell you how important it is to quickly obey God. The longer you sit on it, the less likely you are to follow through with it. You lose faith. Quickly obey his voice, and he'll speak louder. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying there are people in this room right now that I'm gifting an extraordinary, like I'm going to stretch your ears. You're going to feel me pulling your ears. I'm going to stretch your ears that you might know that a man can hear in his spirit the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that for those of us, there's some of us like I don't hear, I see. Some of us like I don't hear, I don't see, I feel. And some of us say I don't hear, I don't see, I don't feel, and none of those things. Those things don't really matter right now. But you're all in. If you're like all in and you want to obey the voice of God, he'll speak to you in your own way, in a way that you know. I feel such a strength in saying that God will speak to you in a way that makes sense for you. It makes sense to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Prophecy. It's giving blood. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I pray this week there'll be opportunities to begin to experiment where we start to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Amen. Now, I want to tell you this real quick before we go, and I know we're way over time. I got to go. Here's something I want to point out to you is that it is so easy to make an assumption, like I took a risk and it didn't quite work. Okay, this is like Jesus saying, I heard this like this week while he's on my sickbed. Which, by the way, Judy, she gets sick and she starts cleaning. She just cleans. I get sick and I'm like, I'm in bed for days. She's cleaning around me. You know, she's amazing. Yes. And I'm a man, I guess, you know. Okay. I'm laying on my bed, you know, and it's like, I want you to hear how cruel this is. How cruel was it for Jesus to share with the scribes and the Pharisees, those who were taunting him, saying, you will no doubt quote this parable to me, physician, heal yourself. Do you know how cruel that is? What that is basically saying is, okay, so maybe you healed the lame, you raised the dead, and you did all these wonderful things, but you can't heal yourself. That's one of the lousiest lies the enemy ever came up with. Because it's never about you. It's always about Jesus. Okay, so thank God Jesus closed his ears and he said, I know you quote that to me, but it's not going to move me. I'm still going to say it is finished. And when Jesus was resurrected, everybody who had been healed was still healed. Everybody who had been delivered was still delivered. Amen? He's a pretty good deal. Father, I thank you so much for your people and for this day, for this hour. Now, I pray for the adventure to begin, and I pray that no one would give in to the temptation of hearing the lie of the enemy saying that didn't really work. In fact, I pray instead that there would be something in our spirit that would just begin to rise up and say, you know what? I'm going to just try and see. I'm just going to taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah.